Good afternoon and welcome to the Narrow Path radio broadcast. My name is Steve Gregg and we are live from 2 to 3 in the afternoon, our regular live program Monday through Friday. This is Friday, the end of our broadcast week. If you'd like to get in to talk with me and my audience today, you can do so if you call 1-800-438-5090. That is, if you have a question about the Bible or Christianity, you'd like to have it discussed here, or if you have a disagreement with the host and would like to state that here on the air, feel free to do just that. You can call me at 1-800-438-5090. I have my regular announcements to make. Essentially, this Saturday, tomorrow, at 7 in the evening, I have my monthly gathering. We meet once a month. We've been doing this for a few years in a home in Santa Cruz. And it's an open Bible discussion for whoever wants to show. It's a meeting that was established for the sake of listeners to this program. And if you listen to this program and would like to participate, you're part of the general radio fellowship that is welcome to come together here. If you're interested in the meeting, it's tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, in Santa Cruz. If you'd like directions to the home where it is held, you can call Mike or Brenda. And their phone number is area code 831-475-8301. That's area code 831-475-8301. If you call that number, you can learn where the location is. Now, if you've come to our meetings in Santa Cruz before, it's the same location as always. But for any of you who've never been there, you can call that number. And if you didn't get that number just now and want it, you can find it at our website. The website is www.thenarrowpath.com. Thenarrowpath.com. Click on the link that says announcements right there at the head in the center of the page, and that'll take you to the speaking schedule of where I'm speaking this month. I'm also going to be speaking this month in Southern California in Orange County later in the month, July 21st. That's a Saturday night. And at the end of the month, I'll be speaking in Oregon in the regular circuit, McMinnville, Albany, and Camas, Washington. That'll be the last weekend of this month. That information is at our website. If you're interested, you can go check that out. There's contact information and locations and such. Okay, we're going to go to the phones directly now and talk first of all to Tom calling from Monterey, California. Hi, Tom. Welcome to the Narrow Path. I'm fine.
Good. I'm glad we're not in the Central Valley with triple digits. We're in the beautiful coastal area, so not too
bad. It's nice and moderate here.
Isn't it nice? Hey, first I just wanted to put a challenge out to your listeners that listen to Christian radio, which I'm sure most of them do, and I don't think you'll find a program like this on the radio. That we need to support a program like this because there's, like I say, I haven't come across one that will allow people to come up with different opinions and have the host actually talk about it rather than just hanging up on the person. So that's my first thing to say.
And as a Roman Catholic, that's important to you because there's not very many programs on Protestant radio where a Roman Catholic can call and say as much as you get a chance to say here, right?
That is very much the truth. And I know you've had some New Agers on your program and Mormons call in and you give them equal time and you always treat them with respect, which is very nice. So anyway, what I wanted to bring up with, and unfortunately I'll have to hang up and hear your answer off the phone, but I noticed a couple times lately you've had talks about Mormons and possibly some other faiths that you said that they are what you would consider a cult. And the reason you would consider them a cult is because they follow what the church tells them and they don't really get a chance to investigate why they believe what they believe, or the church kind of quells it and moves on to another subject, and that sounds an awful lot like the Catholic Church also. But what I wanted to bring up was, when I look at the Old Testament church, I see a church. As well, I don't know if we'd want to call Abraham a church, but I think he was he's our father. So I would say that he's probably the starting of at least a godly faith, if not a Christian faith in a shadow. People didn't question him as far as his authority, nor do I see...
Who would have questioned him? Who would have questioned him, Tom?
I just one story that came to mind was Sodom and Gomorrah, and they were told, you know, all this kind of stuff, and nobody, only a very few people left, right? And
I don't consider that Abraham started a church. I believe that Abraham is the father of the faith, and the only people that were ever subject to him in his lifetime were his own children.
Okay,
and his children
and his their spouses, I would take it, right?
I don't know. I don't know whether their spouses submitted to them or him or not, okay. But I know that when his sons were young, they had to do so, and so did his servants. But that's not because he was the head of a faith, but that's because he was the head of a household.
Okay, very good. And that's, I think, if you follow the Bible, it starts off with a family, it goes into a tribe, it goes into a nation, and then it goes into a kingdom. Which now we're in the kingdom age. And I think that this, if we look at Abraham, we have to kind of look at, okay, well, this is the seed that God planted, and from there we're growing ever further towards Christ. So, and then I look at Moses. I see some people did oppose him, but in Korah's rebellion, God snuffed that out.
Let me just let in a little bit here, Tom, because... It sounds like you're going to survey the Old Testament for us and show us that there were prophets that had real authority from God and that people were not allowed to question their authority without consequences. I'm not going to disagree with you about that.
Okay.
But there is a difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament in that the Holy Spirit was given to the people of God in the New Testament.
Okay.
And it's that Holy Spirit in us that John said makes it unnecessary for us to rely on human teachers. He said we have no need that anyone teach us because the anointing or the Holy Spirit that dwells in us teaches us of all things. Now that wasn't true in the Old Testament, and you're quite right that these Old Testament characters, especially the prophets and the kings, had unique authority over the people's spiritual lives. But that's not, to my mind, comparable.
Okay.
To what Jesus established in the New Covenant.
Well, let's go into the New Testament then. I look at, I believe it's either the very end of Acts 15 or Acts 16 that it says, you know, those among you who have come in and taught a different doctrine. And then Paul, I see him in many of his writings rebuking some of the Christian churches for saying you've fallen away from what your true love was. You know, you're not doing what I've told you to do, and so they are basically following what the church, which I would call all of the apostles, the early church.
One of the churches that Paul said that to was the Corinthian church,
mm-hmm.
And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 24, Paul said to them, not that we have dominion over your faith, but we are fellow workers for your joy, for by faith you stand. So he said, we don't have dominion over your faith. We're just helpers.
Mm-hmm.
You see, Jesus Christ has dominion over all people on earth. Some don't recognize it yet, but the Christians are those who do recognize it and submit to that. And so all Christians must submit to Christ. And that being so, even the apostles were simply there to help.
Well, I would agree with you, and I think most Christians would agree with you, but
okay.
in the big picture, they are the authority. It's not that they handed them a book and said, here, read this book, and then...
Well, let me ask you a question, Tom.
I'll give you the Holy Spirit.
Tom, since we're talking about my statements about cults and cults, particularly the practice of cults and not letting people think for themselves,
uh-huh.
But they have to go along with everything the cult leaders say. And you said that's like the Catholic Church. Well, it is in some ways like the Catholic Church. It's in some ways like a lot of Protestant churches, too. Most institutional churches fall into this error somewhat, it seems to me. But I guess I'd ask you this question. Well, first question is, what is all that noise in the background?
That's a bunch of fans running. I'm on a building that has a bunch of fans
okay.
in it. So.
Okay, it's a very, very noisy. But the question I have for you is this. Do you believe that if a person in spiritual authority tells you to do something, and in your conscience you believe it's wrong to do it, you should follow their instruction or follow your conscience?
That's a loaded question, I can tell.
It's a very practical question, actually. It's because it's the very question that Luther faced, because he said, when the Catholic Church told him to renounce his writings, he said he couldn't do that in good conscience. And he says to violate our conscience is neither open to us nor safe for us to do.
Okay.
Now, I agree with that. Do you?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll put it
okay,
back.
Well, that's where I stand. See, now the Jehovah's Witnesses and some of these cults I mentioned, they don't agree with that. They believe that the ruler of the cult dominates the individual conscience. And that if your conscience tells you something else is true, you're in rebellion against them.
Well, then if my conscience tells me it's okay to abort a child, then obviously something's wrong. Then that's not
yes.
right. My conscience
yeah.
is lacking.
Something's very wrong. Right. Something's very wrong with your conscience in that case. And obviously, if it is the case, then you're not following Scripture. Your conscience, in other words, is not being informed from Scripture if you think it's okay to abort your child.
But see, I think that's where my conscience is failing. That's why I don't believe that we should follow the Bible alone, because it seems to me, and I think you would have to agree, that there seems to be an awful lot of people who follow their conscience and the burning in the bosom and read the Bible, and they say, well, it's okay, and somebody else will
okay.
know it.
Now, you're talking about a case where the person's conscience would allow them to do something the church forbids. I would, in a case like that, be much more favorable towards submitting to the church, because submitting to the church doesn't make you violate your conscience. In other words, if your conscience tells you that you could abort your child, but of course your conscience would not tell you that you must, then by submitting to the church, you're not really violating your conscience. You're simply limiting your options, but both options are okay with your conscience. Your conscience would allow you to abort it or not. And when the church says, no, that's the wrong thing to do, then, of course, a person submitting to the church is not violating their conscience. It's different, for example, if the church tells you to do something and your conscience tells you that's wrong. Suppose you go to the priest and you confess your sins to the priest, and he says, my son, you need to say 50 Hail Marys and 50 Our Fathers. And you say, you know, but Father, Jesus told me not to use vain repetitions when I pray, and I can't just rattle off 50 Our Fathers like that. I mean, that to me, that cheapens it, and it seems to be violating what Jesus said. Now, if he says, well, nonetheless, do it, my son, and you'll be forgiven. Well, okay, now you've got a situation where the church is telling you to do something, and your conscience might tell you, based on the Word of God, that is not a right thing to do, and you shouldn't do it.
Well,
that's a
if we can stop you there, because you brought up a whole lot. Number one, I look at, what was it, Naaman, that dipped himself 7 times in the river?
Right, but that didn't violate his conscience.
No, but it's still a repetitious thing. I see the angels in heaven unceasingly saying, holy, holy, holy. I see that as maybe just repetition. I think that what you're bringing up there is, and to top it all off, I see Jesus Christ himself with the apostles looking at the Pharisees or the priests and saying, don't do what they do, but do what they tell you, because they are in authority. Don't rebel against my church. I see David with Saul.
Now see, Jesus didn't say because they are in authority. He said because they sit in Moses' seat. Now Moses' seat is where the scripture. Well, what was their authority, though? Their authority was the scriptures. Moses' seat is where the scriptures were expounded from. So when he said the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, obviously the Jews, his disciples knew, that means they expound the scriptures. Now he says, therefore, do what they say. Why? Because they're expounding the scriptures, and you're subject to the scriptural authority. But he says they don't possess any innate authority themselves. They don't even practice what they preach.
But expounding on the scriptures is basically a sermon on what they have just read from the scriptures. It's not the scripture. It's
okay.
Expounding on what they just read.
Okay.
So,
well, Tom,
I'm
yeah, I've got my lines full here too, but it looks like we're not going to come to agreement this time.
Well, I'm hoping to call you Monday or Tuesday on a kingdom subject, so I'll
okay.
Double duty.
I'll look forward to that.
God bless.
All right.
Bye.
God bless you, Tom. Bye now. All right. Let's talk next to Monty calling from Alsea, California. Monty, thanks for waiting so patiently. I hope you've been patient. You've been waiting. Hi, brother.
My cell phone hangs in here on the mountains of Alsea.
Okay. Well, you're on there now, and it doesn't even sound like you're breaking up. Monty, are you there?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
I can, and you're on the air.
Okay. Reminds me of the scripture when we're talking to the Catholics, and I've been hearing you talk to them a lot. I was led to share a scripture when I walked years back in the Catholic Church in an open time before the priest came in and started. And it was Hebrews 9, verse 24. It says, mm-hmm. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made by men's hands, which are figures of a truth, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us all. And also reminds, in that same chapter, verse 14, it says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who without spot offered himself unto God, purge our conscience from dead works to serve a living God? And I'm seeing this in reference and just your discernment or look.
You're starting to break up. Starting to break up pretty bad. Go ahead. Let's see if we can hear you.
Okay. And the church in the general perspective, Protestant, maybe Catholic, throw them all together, that we're taking on, it's like the men are taking on the spirit. It's almost like a great whore of Babylon or a Diana Ephesians or a Jezebel spirit, and it's a counterfeit of the Holy Spirit that will transform their hearts. And it's not allowing them like the first church walked in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Ghost, adding to the church daily, such as should be saved. But it's essentializing the whole panorama of churchdom, I call it, and making us more effeminate and not wanting or not having the boldness to stand up for our faith and testify and allow the Holy Ghost and the fear of the Lord to transform us in obedience and walking by faith and trust in the Lord and His Word. And I'm just wondering if that's a spirit that is getting general, and it's almost making the role reversal, in the whole world is because the church, where goes the church, the whole world can go. And if the role reversal, men are becoming more like women, and women don't like it, so they're trying to rule over the men. Isaiah 3:12 says this, for my people, children oppress them, and women rule over them. All my people, they which lead thee, cause thee to err. And that speaks of principality also, and all through those prophets, you know, Ezekiel 13, speaking, and anyway, going back to the nation is now getting a lot of rulers and authority that are becoming the men, or I mean women, ruling over the men.
Mommy,
and I was wondering let me
interrupt you just for a minute. Sounds like you've got a bag full of complaints, and they seem to be all over the field. And it sounds like you might just want to give us a sermon. Is there a question that you have today?
Do you sense that is the case, that the church is supposed to be a leader and a covering for the family, the home, and the nation? And when they...
Oh, I'm sorry. Hang on a minute. Okay, I'm sorry. No, you're there. You're there. Go ahead.
I'll hang up and take the answer off the line, but the roles getting reversed, and there's the church not allowing the Spirit for the men to become men as they're called to be, men of God.
All right. Well, thanks for your call.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Are the roles being reversed? I see, when you were giving your little talk, I was not sure whether you meant the roles are being reversed between the church and the world. That is, where the church should be leading the way to the world, is the world, in fact, leading the way for the church? Or, as you mentioned, men and women, are you asking whether the sexual roles are being, or the gender roles are being reversed in our society? I'm not sure which way you meant the question, but if, no matter which way you meant it, I would tend to say yes. Yeah, that does seem to be happening. It does seem to me that in general, the world is calling the tune and the church is dancing to the world's tune. Which should be the other way around. The church should be a prophetic voice from God to a lost world, telling them what's true and demonstrating in our lives what's true. Instead, the church has forgotten that and decided to just look as much like the world as possible and try not to stand out much and try not to get too much attention, because whenever we get attention, we get persecuted. So, you know, we don't want to stick our head up too much and say anything unpleasant that the people around us in the world wouldn't like. We just want to hang on to our souls barely. Until we get to heaven and try to avoid discomfort and persecution as much as possible, it would appear. Now, I don't think that's a description of me, so I'm really not speaking for myself, and I may not be accurately speaking for others either. That's what appears to be true to me. Now, as far as whether role reversal is taking place between the genders, well, I think that's not even questionable. I mean, obviously, women are moving more and more into positions that were traditionally held by men, both in the home and in the marketplace and in politics. So I guess that's not really something that anyone would dispute, I don't think. It sounds to me like you're just really full of concern about a large number of trends in our society and in the church. And I,